Hello and welcome. You are listening to the teaching ministry of Coastal Oaks Church in Rockport, Texas. It is our hope that you will be encouraged and that your desire to follow Jesus Christ will be challenged and strengthened as you listen to this podcast. For more information on location, service times, and what to expect on your next visit, go to coastaloakschurch.org. Now, grab your Bible and study along with us as you listen.
Amen. And we invite you to be seated. And if you brought your copy of the scriptures with you this morning, you can be turning to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think the nature of the times that I get to be with you on Sunday mornings are always going to be somewhat topical, and just because we don't have the time to break this down and for it to be a series. In fact, we're in the middle of a series. Pastor Kevin's met How to Make Disciples or Making Disciples series, and so we'll pick that up again next week. But this week, I'm bringing you a sermon that I'm just calling ID, Exploring Who I Am in Christ. And ID, of course, is short for the word identify or identity or whatever you want to call it, identification, ID. Essentially, what we're going to be doing this morning is I want to look to Scripture and explore what Scripture says about a person who is in Christ. And so as we start this morning, the question really is very simple. Who do you think you are? Now, I'm not asking that to be flippant. I'm not asking that to be sarcastic or anything this morning. Literally, the question is, who do you think you are? The answer should sound like this: I am blank, and then you fill in the blank, okay? We wear hats, we wear titles, and those would go in the blank. In fact, we probably wear multiple titles, right? Multiple hats. Maybe you're a father. If you're a boy and a father, that means you were probably at some time somebody's son, because we don't just show up on the planet, right? There's a bunch of different titles that we have. And it's good. There's a significant body of research among those in the psychology community that believes this statement is true, and the statement is this: who you think you are determines what you do. The psychologists believe this. If you think you are something, that determines your steps. You act accordingly, okay? We see this phenomenon in the church also. Usually it's the opposite of it, though, where Christians who aren't solid in their ID, they're not founded, they're not grounded in Christ, have a hard time verbalizing what they believe or struggle to find purpose for the things that we do. I couldn't tell you, and young adults, this is not a knock on you, but I've had many conversations over the past month with young adults who are struggling, trying to determine, God, what do you want me to do with my life? It's a good struggle. It really is. Let me encourage you to keep on that path until it is revealed to you. But struggling can also, needless struggling, I should say, can also be the opposite of being grounded in who you are. It can also lead us to work tirelessly to discover God's will in the most minuscule of decisions, as if they were life-altering. Well, as I read the Bible, what I see the Bible describe as a person who is in Christ is one who is confident, who is assured, who is fearless, who is faithful, who is resolved. And so the goal today is to look at what Scripture says about someone who is in Christ, okay? That's where we're going. This is not Andy's definitions. I'm not making this up. What I'm doing is I'm trying to pull this out of Scripture so that we can all have a firm foundation to stand on this morning. We want to paint a very vivid picture of one who is in Christ. In fact, my challenge to you this morning is kind of along those lines. In fact, I prayed it just a minute ago. Place yourself in a position where your faith and Scripture can collide. As we look at the truth of God's Word, the response is always, what do you believe about it? Who do you think you are? We want to be certain of the work of Jesus Christ. We want to be convinced of this. And really, this is the ultimate goal this morning. Only what God says about you is true. Identity rooted anywhere else, it's false. I'm going to say that again, and then we're going to read Scripture. Only what God says about you is true. Identity rooted anywhere else is false. All right, you ready? Let's look at Scripture this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. maybe a familiar passage to you, but it says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Verse 18, all of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And that he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And lastly, verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. If you're taking notes this morning, we're really, in this passage, are just going to make three points, simple points of application. As I studied this and as just some teachers over the past few months have poured into my life, this passage of Scripture has just been bouncing around kind of like a rubber ball in my head. And so when Kevin approached me about preaching this Sunday, I pretty much knew right away that this is where we would go. Because I want you to understand who you are in Christ. I don't want you to be unsure about anything. So three points this morning, okay? We're going to take them one, two, and three. We're going to break them down and spend some time talking about each one, okay? Firstly, this morning, the Bible says that in Christ, your identity is defined. In Christ, your identity is defined. What's it defined as? Well, it's defined as being in Christ. I don't want to make this overly complicated, but I don't want to make it sound too simplistic either. But in Christ, your identity is simply defined as being in Christ, okay? Verse 17, look at what it says. Therefore, if anyone is where? In Christ. Say it with me. In where? Christ. If anyone is in Christ, our identity is defined. But what does it mean to be in Christ? I want to take this little phrase, in Christ, and break it down. We're going to take each word, all right? Now, I'm not too complicated a guy, and so I'm not trying to make this simplistic because I think you can't handle it. This is simplistic so I can handle it, okay? You with me? All right? In. What does it mean to be in? Let me ask you a question. If you take a rock and you throw it towards a pond and you hit the water, where is the rock? It's in the pond, right? Okay? Again, this is for me. I'm just making sure. It's in the pond. If you get a piece of mail out of your mailbox, the important stuff, where is it? It's in the envelope, yeah. Or the envelope, as some of you Texas people say, right? Envelope, envelope, whatever. Yeah, it's in. It's contained. I looked up what the word in means from the dictionary. It literally means this, to or toward the inside of a defined set of limits. We use phrases like in the house. Right? You understand that? Or in a box. Look for that. It's in that box. That's what it means to be in. It's used as a function word to indicate inclusion, location, or position within limits. Now, here's the thing about being in. It requires proof. If I were to tell you that I had a $100 bill in my pocket, and you were to come check my pocket and find no $100 bill, the proof would not substantiate the claim, would it? It's not in. No. In, we understand. And so the Bible says in Christ, it defines our identity as being in Christ. I want to say this to you this morning, church. Your identity in Christ is not in a certain denomination. It's not in being a member of a certain church. And you guys know I love this church. I'm a fan. I love what we do at Coastal Oaks. But my identity in Christ is not rooted in this church. My identity in Christ is not rooted in my family. I love my family deeply. But that's not where my identity in Christ is rooted. My identity in Christ is rooted where? In Christ. Notice what it says in verse 17. The Bible defines that anyone who is in Christ says that that person is a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. I'm reading from my NIV translation, and they've updated it recently. I remember my older NIV translation says it like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We're defined as a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, the Bible gives us some parameters for someone who is in Christ. And essentially what I want to do in this next few minutes is just kind of walk you through a tool that we use in evangelism called the Romans Road. Okay? The Romans Road basically uses some verses in the books of in the book of Romans to help us understand how we come to faith in Christ. That's what we're going to do for the next few minutes. So I know there's on your sermon notes, there's a good amount of space underneath each point. If you want to make some freestyle, freehand notes, this would be a good time to do it, okay? And I'm not going to spell out each verse for you. In fact, I didn't even include all of them from the Romans Road. But these are good things that you can go back and look up later. How do we know? Where's the proof of one who is a new creation, who is in Christ? Well, first of all, I believe one who is in Christ has to be able to identify sin and admit that you are one, not a sin, but a sinner. Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us that everyone has sinned. Everybody. Now, I don't know about you. Again, I'm a simplistic learner, but everybody to me means everybody. So if everybody has sinned, that means I've done it. That means you've done it. That means your best friend. That means that person that, you know, they obviously sin. Well, shoot, yeah, they do it all the time. We've all done it. God lays that foundation from the beginning. We've got to be able to identify sin and admit that I am a sinner if I am in Christ. You've also got to be able to realize that sin brings a penalty. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23, that penalty is death. The wages of sin is death. And someone must pay that penalty. For the person who is not in Christ, it is your responsibility to pay your sin debt to God. Let me encourage you, friends, if you are not in Christ, you do not want to pay that debt. You do not want to pay that debt. Literally, it's to understand that I am dead in sin. You've also got to be able to repent. You recognize the sin. You realize it brings a debt. You repent. You turn from the sin. Repent is a biblical word. It literally means to turn and go the other direction. You don't run towards sin. You run away from it. Repent. Turn from your sin. Romans 5:8 tells us that we have to trust by faith that Jesus' death paid for our personal sin debt before God. It says, while we were yet sinners, or while we were still sinning, Christ died for us. I get the picture of a pig in the mud. No greater place to be for a pig than in the mud, right? While the pig was in the mud, that's me and you, by the way, Christ died for us. Lastly, kind of a five-step thing here. Got to be able to believe that by faith that Jesus' resurrection from the grave defeated sin and death. And his resurrected life gives you new life. Romans 10 and verse 9 says that anyone who would call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You must speak it with your mouth. You must believe it with your heart. It's proof. Remember, being in, it requires proof. I want to look real quick at the book of Galatians. We're in 2 Corinthians. Galatians is the book that's right behind 2 Corinthians, okay? Galatians chapter 5, because I want to give you some further proof, okay? For the one who is in Christ, okay? We know what it means to be in. What does it mean to be in Christ? For the one who is by faith each day walking in Christ, there is more proof. There is what they call the fruits of the Spirit. That is, the Spirit of God dwelling in and working in the person who is in Christ. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 19 and read about five verses. It says this: the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty clear, right? Watch this. This is good. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Some translations say patience. This one says forbearance in my Bible. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Paul, as he writes to the church in Galatia, he says, hey, for someone who is in Christ, there's some obvious things you need to look for. They have a joyful disposition. There's a peace about their life. They're not swayed with the prevailing winds of the culture, of the society. Why? Why is that true? Because their faith is in one, not in one place. Not in one stage, not in one season, but in one person. And his name is what? Jesus Christ. That's a good list. That's a good goal list, by the way. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Basically, church, what I want you to understand this morning is as we look at how the Bible defines our identity in Christ, I want you to understand this morning that you're not trying to hit a moving target. You're not trying to hit a moving target. How you are in Christ has been clearly defined. To be in Christ means to be completely and solely focused on Jesus all day, every day. Your home, your school, your work, your marriage is about Jesus. Your money is about Jesus. Your relationships, they're about Jesus. Jesus is essentially the package, and our life is inside of it. Does that make sense? It's to be obsessed with His glory, His fame, His will, not ours, not me, not I. In Christ is about Christ. Are you in Christ? Is Jesus your life? You may be a husband, a mother, a sister, a daughter, a son, but are you in Christ? Are you in Christ this morning? One last thing, and we're going to move on to our next point. To be in Christ is not to say, and we just sang the song. I love this song, the versions of the song Amazing Grace that have come out over the years are great. It's a great song of the faith. And it says in the first line, I once was blind, but now I see. Let me go further because the gospel goes further. The gospel is not bound to a song because the song is essentially one man's understanding. The gospel speaks higher of that. The gospel is not, I once was blind, but now I see, because blind men still live. The gospel is this, that outside of Jesus, when I was in the midst of my sin, I was dead. But now that I am in Christ, I am alive. See the difference? It's not that you were blind and now you see. You were dead, and in Christ you are alive. Big difference. In Christ, your identity is defined. But secondly, I want you to see this from our text this morning. In Christ, your identity is life-proof. In Christ, your identity is life-proof. I was walking through Best Buy the other day, and there's this whole section of phone cases for these really expensive smartphones that we get. And the trendy one to buy now is this one called the LifeProof case. Maybe you've got one. It's supposed to be a sturdy case. I hope it works for you. I really do. I'm not going to go there because what I know is that nothing that we build lasts forever. And so that's good that you want to protect your phone, and I want to protect my phone too. But I'm not willing to pay what they want for one of those. Those are expensive cases. My phone is not LifeProof at the moment. But you know what? In Christ, my identity, it is. It is. It's life-proof. Notice what he says in verse 17. Back in 2 Corinthians, we're back there. In fact, we're going to stay there for the rest of the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. At the end of verse 17, after he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, he describes it. He says, the old is gone. The new has come. He starts with the old, moves to the new. The old is gone. The new has come. There are two dangerous tendencies I see in the American church, and I want to make you aware of them if you're not already this morning. Again, this is not so we can grab these and just say the American church has gone wrong. This is for personal reflection. So there's two dangerous tendencies I see in the American church, and the first one is this: to profess Christ and then resist the change that comes with making Jesus the boss of your life. To me, this is an act of will. Maybe you get caught up in the moment, you say, Jesus is Lord, but then, you know what, if Jesus wants me to surrender that, I'm not willing to go there. Jesus is not Lord then. It's a dangerous tendency. The second one is this, is to profess Christ and then be shaken or wavered by the next unexpected thing that comes our way. Say, Jesus is Lord, and then your next doctor's visit, you get bad news. Or the next phone call is someone calling you to tell about the death of a loved one. And our faith was solid until we got that news. In Christ this morning, church, your life, or your identity, excuse me, is life proof. The old has gone. I did another word study, again, because I think simple. I did a word study on the word gone, and it does mean what I think it means. Okay, you ready for this? Being away from a place, being absent, or having departed, past, dead, absorbed, exhausted, carried away, lost. And Paul says, for the one who is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is where? Gone. It's dead, it's absorbed, it's exhausted, it's carried away, it's lost. Gone. The indication in Scripture here is that once a person is in Christ, they can never return to that past way of thinking, that past way of living. And really, let me just ask you this, church, an honest reflection question for you today. Why would you ever want to go back to that? For if you truly understand and you know that your life is in Christ, why would you want to go back to that old way of thinking? That depraved mindset, that in-the-moment mindset, that gratify and satisfy only what is immediately here. And we've all been there, I believe. And I think that each one of us could testify this morning and know that it's basically a cul-de-sac faith, the dead end. In Christ, your identity is life-proof. There's a song on the radio by the artist Matthew West right now, and the name of the song is Hello, My Name Is. And the story behind the song is very interesting. I was listening to Air One Radio this week in the car, and the story came on, and it just kind of fit with what we're talking about this morning. So I want to read this story to you. It's about a young man named Jordan, and the letter that he wrote to Matthew West, who then inspired this song. And it says like this. The letter started like this. Hello, my name is Jordan, and I'm a drug addict. That was the first sentence of the young man's story that he wrote to me in a letter. He went on to tell how for many years that he had identified himself this way, a two-sport star athlete in high school and the son of a pastor. Jordan, after graduating from high school, received a scholarship to run track and play football at a university in Kentucky. But during his sophomore season, Jordan broke his ankle. During his rehab, he got a prescription to OxyContin. I'm not sure if I said that right, but it's a painkiller drug, a very powerful one. He wrote about how addiction quickly took hold of his life and sent him spinning out of control. After two failed drug tests, the university kicked him out, took away his scholarships, and Jordan had lost everything he had worked for. He landed in a place called Teen Challenge in North Carolina, a Christian rehab center that's in the business of restoring lives with the hope of Jesus Christ. Jordan said it was during his time at Team Challenge that he began to realize that God wasn't done with him yet and that titles like addict didn't have to be attached to his name anymore. He told me, and again, this is from the perspective of the artist Matthew West. This is him telling the story. He told me that in the years since his recovery, he went back to the same college that kicked him out and earned his master's degree. He's now a teacher and a coach and a newlywed, and he has said recently he feels God calling him into full-time ministry. He closes his story by saying this. These days I introduce myself a little bit differently than I used to. He says, hello, my name is Jordan, and I'm a child of the one true King. See, this young man, life got a hold of him. But once he came to Christ, and his identity was rooted in Christ, where did it go? He went from drug addict to what? Child of the one true King. Really, an examination of our old life. What has it brought us? Heartache, misery, loss, divorce, striving, death, failing, drunkenness, hurt, emptiness, confusion, despair. I don't know. You fill in the blank. What did the old life bring us? For the one who is in Christ, the old life is but a shadow. He now enjoys new life through faith. Where? In Christ. Follow me this morning? In Christ, your identity is defined. It's life-proof. Lastly, in Christ, your identity is eternally secure. These last two points are somewhat related. I can admit that. I'm okay with that. But I don't think it's a bad thing for us to really hammer home and lay a good foundation of what Scripture says about our identity in Christ. It's life-proof. It's secure. God did not intend for us to live our lives after we come to faith in Christ being swayed like a tree with the prevailing winds. We have a firm foundation, and His name is Jesus Christ. Look at what we read in verse 19 of our passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Now, I don't want you to be fooled by the English translation, because if you just read through that real fast, the tendency might be to think that God is still in the midst of the work of reconciliation. It's still an ongoing process. And what I want to say to you this morning. The work of reconciliation was finished in Christ. It was finished when Jesus was crucified on the cross, and after they put Him in the grave for 3 days, and He came back to life, and He defeated sin and death, the work of the reconciliation of our God was finished, and it was founded, and it was done, and it was over, and it was in Christ. In Christ, your identity is eternally secure. Why? Because Christ's work of salvation is over. It's done. I read a story this week about the Mosler Safe Company. This is cool. This is not a company that's around anymore, but they built two bank vaults in banks that were in Hiroshima, Japan, after the U.S. bombed it, that end World War II, after they bombed that city. And these two bank vaults were pretty much untouched after the bomb dropped in Hiroshima. And can you imagine this? The chaos of an atom bomb dropping in a city like that. And the destruction and the devastation and just everything that was going on. Yet here's these two safes, these two vaults that were in banks, building crumbling around them, falling over. Foundation, not to be seen, but these two safes, untouched through all of that devastation. In fact, the Mosler Safe Company got a bit of a reputation for building safes that were 10 times more expensive to destroy than they were to build. It's pretty good work, isn't it? In Christ, your identity is secure. It's not reasonably secure. It's not secure for today, but tomorrow's up in the air. It's not secure as long as you don't mess up. It's not secure as you are extra holy today. By the way, the only way we can know holiness is in Jesus Christ. It's not mostly secure. It is locked down. It is forever, eternally secure. We sing a song here at Coastal Oaks called Cornerstone. And it's a remake of the old hymn that you may be familiar with called Christ the Solid Rock I Stand, verses basically point us to that truth, that Christ is a firm foundation. And the words of the verses are escaping me, but I remember the words from the original chorus of that song, the Solid Rock. It says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, but all other ground is what? Do you remember those words? Sinking sand. Yeah, exactly. On Christ is a solid rock. All other ground is not. It's sinking sand. In Christ, you can surrender your fears about the unknown. You can surrender your fears about the future. You can surrender any fear you might have about giving up control of your life and making Jesus the boss. You can surrender striving. You can surrender the need for acceptance from that person or from that group of people. You can surrender anguish. You can surrender being a slave to sin and being captive to an old way of thinking. Because in Christ, you're not there anymore. The old is what? It's gone. The new has come. And in Christ, God has finished the work of reconciliation. You are eternally secure, freed from sin, assured, confident, guarded, fortified, protected. Jesus breaks every sin that binds and sets men free. Paul, as he writes to his young pastor friend Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy, says it this way. 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 10. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald, apostle and teacher. And that is why I suffer these things. But listen to this. Paul, being confident and assured, fortified, protected, he says in verse 12, but I am not ashamed of the gospel, because I know the one I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. Where was Paul's confidence? Was it in himself? No. Was it in his surroundings? Certainly not, because he wrote that from a jail cell, from prison. Was it in the churches that he had planted or the pastors that he had sown into their life? No. It was in Christ. The whole point of what we're talking about today is that I want to give you a firm foundation to understand this. Because this is something that I have and still continue to struggle with. I want you to understand, in Christ, before Father God, you're not working to gain your identity anymore. You're not working to please God, hoping that he will look on you and go, wow, that was awesome. You're one of mine. In Christ, you live from your identity. Okay? Let's see if we can break this down. Living for your identity, trying to earn God's favor. In Christ, you are in God's favor. If you are in Christ, I'm going to preface it with that if, okay? If you are in Christ, you don't work to gain your identity. You live from it, and you enjoy life to the fullest extent because God has ordained each step. The detours and bumps in the road are fine because your faith is life-proof, and your salvation is eternally secure. Anybody like secure things? I do. And the fact that my God is unshakable And then my faith in Christ is firm. It's done. It's secure. That leads me to live a different way. In fact, I would say this to you. If you are in Christ, the same should be true for you. Be confident in Him. Be confident in Jesus Christ. Because He is the firm foundation. All other ground is sinking sand. Do you know who you are? Is your ID found in Christ this morning? Let's pray together.